So Amy, in our last interview, Cheryl talked about the value of a good counselor. What's been your experience with counseling?
Well, let me just say, I'm a believer. I am a believer in great Christian counseling because it has really had an impact on our family. There were two different times, I think we've actually gone into counseling as a family three different times, but there were two times in particular, there was kind of crisis with one of our kids. And so, for example, one of our sons had significant childhood anxiety. Mm-hmm. Barry and I were both educators, you know, so we had all this childhood development background, lots and lots of education, time in the classroom, time with kids, but we were stuck. We just didn't know the next thing to do. We had run through our bag of tricks and we were just at an impasse of how to help him. So we went to a counselor and oh my goodness, we were so glad we did. And it was interesting because our son actually went a couple times and I went the rest of the time. So yeah. She said, I think I've got his vibe. Now I need mom to be on board. And so we would talk and she would give me assignments and I'd go home and work with him. So, but it was just a fantastic experience. And I know that counseling has been valuable for you too, Sherry. Tell us, because I kind of talked about crisis, but tell us why you think counseling isn't just for the big emergencies.
You know, we talked years ago with Mary Snyder about having a friend network, about not putting any one big burden on any one friend or trying to make one person be our all in all. And I kind of feel that way when it comes to just processing life and mental health in general. It's no secret that I run high on the anxiety scale. And so having a counselor that I see on a regular basis means that, I mean, you are wonderful. And Kathy and Michelle and other close friends are just wonderful listeners. But it keeps me honest in terms of, I need a place where I can dump without having to self-edit. Mm-hmm. Like if I really am in the midst of something that has come up and maybe it brings up some childhood stuff or whatever, you guys shouldn't be the first place I should go. I mean, yes, I should go to God. I should go to prayer journaling, Bible study, and my Christian counselor, because I can just say anything and everything there. I don't have to worry about offending or coming back to haunt me. And she holds me accountable. Mm-hmm. My counselor has a memory like a trap, and she's like you in this sense. She will quote me back to myself. And I'm like, thank you so much, Debbie. Not.
Yeah, really. Am I paying you for this?
Exactly. Exactly.
And that's the point, right? Because yes. People that you pay, coaches, counselors, will say things to you that sometimes your friends feel like they can't.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And so it makes such a big difference. And it also is just, it's helpful for me. At this point, I'm seeing her every other week. I'm not seeing her every single week. But let me tell you, earlier this year, it was so good that we already had a baseline relationship established, because 2020 has not been an easy year for me. And again, to know I had somebody I could talk to that I already had history with. So to me, that's one of the most advantageous things about starting a relationship with a counselor before there's a big emergency, is to just get that relationship established, get mm-hmm. the baseline down, and then, you know, to even take some time off until there is, you know, maybe a little bit more of a reason to be like, hey, need to come in. We got something we really need to work on. It's good for all of my relationship. Daniel isn't the primary person who tries to handle me. None of my friends are. But I have this one person that I know is going to gently and lovingly hold me accountable for growing into the kind of person that we both know that God created me to be.
That's wonderful. Well, and I'm sitting here counting on my fingers. I was like, so Cheryl talked to us about a counselor during menopause and dealing with anger and things that are surfacing. Meg talked to us, I just re-listened to hers, about going to a counselor to deal with grief. Mm-hmm. I've talked about parenting. I have a friend that's in counseling for her marriage. You're just mm-hmm. talking about general mental health. So it's a great idea to have a counselor.
Well, this is Sherry Gregory.
And I'm Amy Carroll.
And you're listening to Grit and Grace, the podcast that equips you to lose who you're not, love who you are, and live your one life well.
Today, we want to share our new sponsor with you, Faithful Counseling. Because Sherry and I have both had firsthand experience with the value of Christian counseling, we've been looking for a resource to share with you that will help you to find a counselor that can help with problems or emotional places that you've gotten stuck. Thank you, Faithful Counseling, for sponsoring this episode of Grit and Grace.
Faithful Counseling is designed as a solution for people seeking traditional mental health counseling who would prefer hearing from the perspective of a Christian. If you're seeking a mental health professional who is a practicing Christian, Faithful Counseling may be a great option for you.
Faithful Counseling's unique platform holds several advantages over traditional face-to-face therapy, as it allows you the ability to connect with your counselor at any time. Counseling is not limited to individually scheduled sessions, but can extend to text-based counseling whenever your counselor is marked available.
The choice of communicating with your counselor in the manner that is most comfortable and convenient for you by phone, video call, or messaging.
Drastically more affordable rates than the traditional face-to-face therapy, and the assurance that your counselor will be a good fit. You're always welcome to switch to a different counselor if need be.
Every counselor on Faithful Counseling is licensed by their respective state board in the United States and has over 3,000 hours of experience. You will be matched with a counselor in 24 hours or less when you reach out through the link.
Broad expertise in the Faithful Counseling Network provides users with access to specialists that they may not be able to find locally. The counseling services are affordable, and financial aid is available to those who qualify. To find out more about Faithful Counseling, please visit faithfulcounseling.com/gritandgrace. Sherry, you came up with a great knot for us this week, and it's your knot boxed in. Tell us what you mean by that.
Oh, certainly. So Cheryl talked about the spiritual holding containers that we've become comfortable with for so long. And she said, the problem is if we stay in them, we may stagnate. And it reminded me of a drama that I wrote when I was in college, and it was literally called The Box. And it was about a girl, a young college girl. It was probably about me. And there kept being little vignettes. Like I came on stage holding this large box with a lid on it. And the other primary character would ask me what was in it. And I was holding it very protectively, and I was holding the lid on it very tightly. And so I would reach in and then use my hand to gesture. And then a little vignette would show up on stage with other people acting it out that I would then join. And so one of them was like family worship. And then another one was being in my class with the other children and getting stickers for doing my memory verse perfectly and stuff like that. So all of these little religious traditions and rituals, and none of them were bad or negative in any way. But the whole point of it was that by the very end, and I don't even remember the conversation that happened, but by the very end, I came to understand that while everything that was in it was good, having the lid and holding the lid on to it so tightly was a problem. And so at the very end, I literally took the lid to this box and just threw it out into the audience, which was really fun. And so what it did is it symbolized my openness to adding new things into the box. But here's the thing that did not occur to me when I was in my late teens and early 20s. It did not occur to me that one day that box might actually be too small. And I am, you know, listening to Cheryl made me realize that I am used to intentionally keeping myself pared down to size. I'm not used to thinking that I might outgrow a box and that it might not only be okay, but it might actually be part of God's plan for this season of life, for this second half of life, to actually outgrow those original spiritual holding containers. It's half exciting and half terrifying.
Absolutely half terrifying. And it's so interesting that you started with a story about yourself when you were a young woman, because last night I was driving home from Target, and all of a sudden on the local Christian radio station, an Amy Grant song came on, like an oldie goldie Amy Grant song. It was Thy Will. Do you remember that one?
You know what the first concert was I ever attended?
Amy Grant.
It was Amy Grant.
Me too.
Yeah. And yeah. I walked out because she was too rock and roll. I couldn't handle it.
Oh,
Oh my gosh. Okay. That's hilarious. Obviously, I was going in the opposite direction when I went to the Amy Grant concert.
No, that was my first concert too. I loved her. And I've been following her some on social media and she's lovely. But anyway, so I was listening to this song and I instantly teared up, Sherry, because it invoked this very strong memory of who I was at 16 years old as I was falling passionately in love with Jesus.
Yeah.
And that was the soundtrack of my falling in love with Jesus was Amy Grant. And so I was listening to this, remembering that girl.
Yes.
And there were lots of good things about that girl, but I'm not her anymore. And that girl not only was comfortable with boxes, she loved boxes. Because I'm a one. So a box is my happy place. That's where I feel comfortable. All the perfectionism, growing perfectionism in that period of my life, all of that felt very, very comfortable and safe in a box. But you know what? I am no longer happy with boxes. Not at all. Like, we're not throwing the lid out, baby. We're throwing the whole box out, you know? Now, our listeners, I know Sherry was like, oh gosh, here Amy goes again, losing subscribers for us. But so listeners, don't be afraid. Okay, so because I feel like I have to put some caveats on this. This is why throwing out these old spiritual containers, right? These old paradigms, ways of thinking about things should not scare us because we have matured. I am no longer that 16-year-old girl, and neither are you, and neither are our listeners. Although I saw a review from a 13-year-old. If you're listening, we love you. We're so thrilled you're here. So I am spiritually mature enough to throw out the box. I am biblically grounded enough. That biblical filter for me after, you know, because it was when I was 16 that I started having a daily quiet time. I have been in the Word for how many years? That's a lot of years. I've been in the Word almost daily for that many years. I have a biblical filter in place. So what is happening in my world is that I'm not afraid of hearing different voices, different ideas, things that are actually expanding my spiritual world instead of continuing to stagnate them. So it means that I'm outside my denominational bubble a little bit, that I'm interested in, but I'm not naively taken in by every wave of doctrine. I am mature enough and biblically sound enough to be able to eat the meat and spit out the bones. We do not have to be afraid. So for example, last week, my friend Carrie sent me a podcast. And listen, I'm not even going to name it because some of you would faint. I wouldn't usually listen to it. And I was actually a little scared. Like, should I listen to this? Should I not listen to this? And I listened to it. And guess what? I came out on the other side and I lived and I still love Jesus more than anybody. So what happened was, is I was like, hey, I'm not on the same page as these people on a lot of things, but there were a few valuable things in there that were transforming for me. That was worth a listen. So we are spiritually mature. We are biblically grounded. And listen, we're smart. Sherry, Gregory, we know you're smart. Oh. I'm smart. And so are our listeners. And we don't have to be afraid of thinking about or listening to things outside of those old spiritual containers. We can, to use your word, Sherry, process them and expand and grow in beautiful, beautiful ways. And one of my editors previously, she would say to me when she sat down to write, she would say, Jesus, come sit down beside me and think with me. And this is how I'm processing things that I'm reading that are a little outside of my denominational bubble, things that I'm listening to. And it's making my life richer and deeper
and wider as well.
Mm. Oh, I love this so much. And for a moment there, I thought maybe that this episode would have to release with a vial of smelling salts, but I think it's going to be okay. I think our listeners are still with us. And you know, here's the thing I always tell my AP students, because I teach a variety of literature, and every now and then I'll have people question, well, why are you teaching that? I remind them, because I tell them the first day of class, so that if they can't get on board with it, they can go ahead and exit. Exposure does not equal endorsement.
Yes.
And one of the things that has been hard in this season, but it has been good, and that is to understand that there is a greater variety of the ways that people think and experience this world than what I realized. And even though knowing some of what I know is uncomfortable, I know it's valuable, because not knowing is not better. Not knowing means that I was ignorant. Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's move from lose who you're not. You're not boxed in. So Amy, tell us, we're going to move into love who you are. And oh my goodness, I love your statement for this. So do tell us what your take on love who you are is for this episode.
Well, this is unusual. And Cheryl really challenged us on this. This was such a rich conversation with her. Mm. You are in charge of your anger. I know, shocking. Ones don't like being angry because, you know, we see it as a negative emotion. So I'm like, what is that about? It was so fascinating to me. We're brain science geeks. We've talked about this. And when Cheryl talked to us about the wash of hormones that we have when we're teenagers that kind of make us happy with the world, I was like, really? That's amazing. Mm-hmm. And that wash kind of starts to get upended when we're in that perimenopause phase. And so she said that lovely dance of progesterone and estrogen gets all out of whack, and there's a rise in estrogen and drop in progesterone. And it makes us angry. I was like, okay, well, it's nice to know there's an explanation. Say that there are days, because I'm in that perimenopause stage, where I think I'm going to kill somebody. Like, you're like, Jesus, take the wheel for real. But then she talked about the function of that anger at this stage of life. Mm-hmm. You know, I was thinking about how she said, for those people who have been traumatized, that suddenly that trauma is bubbling back up again. And I was thinking about how God is so good, because listen, when we're raising kids and we're in that stage of building careers or raising kids or both, we don't have time for all of that emotional drama, yeah. Right? But as she said, those things never disappear. They just go down deep. And so I just thought, isn't God good that he gives us a season of life that we start to feel angry about the things that we should feel angry about? Mm-hmm. And then it's just our job. This is where we're in charge of the anger. It's just our job to do something positive with that.
Yes.
So that's the process. This is a bad news, good news thing. So the bad news is hormones are going to rock your world. Right? As they are currently rocking mine. And then the good news is that they don't have to take over us or take us over. We can use them as a tool, those emotions. So if you've experienced trauma that you can no longer gloss over, get mad in a therapist's office. If you've been through a divorce that you didn't want, let the anger motivate you to get out of your house and out of a rut and seek out the rich relationships that God has for you. Mm. And so we could go through a whole list of things, but I thought, well, Amy Carroll, what are you angry about?
Do tell, Amy Carroll.
Which is such an uncomfortable question. I don't like it, but I'm currently angry that I think I've been sold a bill of theological goods that I've accepted unexamined. But here's the thing. That puts it back on me. So I'm kind of mad at myself that I've gone this long without examining a few things that I've always wondered about. So I'm letting that anger propel me to deeper study in my Bible to settle what I believe instead of accepting wholesale what other people have told me.
Woo! I told you when I saw the notes to this episode, I was like, oh, I can't read anymore. My computer's on fire.
And once again, I want to tell our listeners, me and Jesus are so, so good. And the Bible is still preeminent in my heart and mind. And so don't be worried about me. I promise I'm okay. It's just time to ask a few questions. And I am mature enough and theologically sound enough to deal with it. And the Holy Spirit is guiding the boat. And I wanted to say, just to give a little teaser for season three, Sherry and I are working because this whole idea of the hormones and all that stuff, we kind of didn't really come back to that because we have no medical expertise. But in season three, we're going to come back to your questions. A bunch of you asked really great questions and talk about this from a physical medical point of view. Okay, Sherry.
Well, I was really proud of mine. And then I saw yours and I'm like, well, I think at first I wasn't sure if mine was equal or on par with yours. And then I remembered, well, we're not comparing anymore because, you know, because that's right. And comparison's not a game. It's a strategy of the enemy. So I think we're actually on a very similar page because your statement for love who you are, you said you are in charge of your anger. And my statement is you are a boat rocker. And in fact, I phrased it for myself, you are a boat rocker, baby. So Cheryl said, she said, God's spirit is with us. And she pointed out that when the spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness, she said that the word there was literally to push or to shove. And she said that this perimenopause and menopause season is a wake up call.
Yes.
And when she said too many women are slightly updated versions of their younger self and they might need a radical transformation, that really hit home to me. And you know me, I'm not a green thumb in the least, but I am aware that there's such a thing as a plant becoming root bound. Like you buy it and it's in a small container because it started out small. And so that size container is appropriate for it. But then as it grows and grows and grows and it gets more and more roots, if it stays root bound, it will die.
Great picture.
And I remember listening to her and thinking, don't I owe it to everybody that I know to stay the same, to stay predictable, for them to be able to count on me, to not just freak out on them, my family, my friends, you know, like, how dare I change? And then I realized, especially as we moved into the rest of the conversation with her, that once again, this is all or nothing thinking that is so classic for those of us who are recovering perfectionists. Perfectionism rears its ugly head again because perfectionism loves dualistic thinking. And so in this case, it's, well, if it's good for me, it must be bad for everyone else. But that's not necessarily true. And, you know, it sounds, and of course, I'm an Enneagram too. And so, you know, taking care of everybody before taking care of myself is not only my greatest strength, but it's also my greatest source of pride. Look how sacrificial I am. Aren't I more sacrificial? Oops, wait, I'm comparing again, aren't I? Mm-hmm. And so literally, I mean, when I sat down and really processed this, I'm like, well, if I change, what will become of everyone else? It's like, well, I'm pretty sure God created them and God cares for them. And I'm pretty sure that they will not all faint and need smelling salts just because I grow and change. Like if they're people who care about me, they're going to want me to grow and change.
I love it. I love it. But on the flip side, there will be those people who do not like that you are growing and changing. Can we just acknowledge that?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure there are some who will say, good for you to, and now I'm speaking to our listeners, okay, not just myself and not just you. There will be those who say good for you to our faces and then do everything they can behind our, even unconsciously to sabotage and get things back to the way they used to be, because that's how systems work. Systems like to stay at equilibrium. And when one part changes, everybody else has to change or they have to get the person who changed to go back to the way they were. Mm-hmm. But I realized that for me, the big message and the reason it was so important for me to say, you are a boat rocker, baby, is that not rocking the boat has been such a value to me. You must not rock the boat. You must not rock the boat. And, you know, a metaphor that's so important to me is this dualistic thinking, the either or thinking is like a light switch. It's either on or it's off.
Right.
Okay. So like I'm either growing or I'm caring for other people. Okay. It's again, that false dichotomy. When the truth is that in many, many areas of our lives, and again, much like you, I'm not saying anything about about the truth of scripture. I'm not talking about areas of morality that are clearly black and white, but in many areas of our lives, we are much more like a soundboard with sliders. And so instead of a light switch, which is either on or off, I can care for myself, and that can have its own slider where I'm either not caring for myself or I'm growing, and you know, I can dial that up. But I can also, there's a switch for caring for other people, and I can dial that down or I can dial that one up. So I could do both, you know, on a soundboard, if there's a slider for both of those, I could do both simultaneously. I could grow and I could care for others. It's not that either or simplistic choice. And, you know, I'll just say in this year of all years, I think because we are tired, because we are stressed, it is so easy to just kind of, because all or nothing thinking is a protective strategy. It's a simplification strategy. It's a survival strategy. And so I think it's important to work all the harder to look for the complexities. The way that I've heard it is holding paradox in tension. And for me, growing and caring for others is like, so I have to sit with the discomfort of that and wrestle with it and process what that might look like. There was a recent blog post by Seth Godin, and he talked about getting away from this dichotomy of you're either right or you're wrong, and embracing the idea, I'm confused right now. And confusion is one of my least favorite things to feel. And yet it's so important for problem solving. Like, it's the admission, I don't know what's going on. And I might not even, I don't know what I don't know. And so confusion can actually lead to some really healthy curiosity. Like, I'm less likely to grab for a quick right answer that keeps me from feeling wrong, because I hate feeling wrong, if I can recognize that feeling confused is a normal part of a healthy learning and growth process. So I can go from confused to becoming curious, and then I can just kind of expand my understanding rather than, and again, this is a stress response, tunnel vision, putting on blinders so that I can quickly feel right and feel like I'm not wrong. So just wanted to wrap around to that whole idea. It's not either or, we're sliders on that soundboard. It's not the simple on or off switch. And especially in a time of stress, the more that we can challenge ourselves to avoid the simplistic thinking, the more we're going to grow and the more gracious we're going to be to others.
Fantastic. Beautiful picture. And I think ours are so tied together, because that simplistic thinking is usually external stuff that we just internalize. The confusion is questions. And that's when we are nuancing and coming up with our own answers. Yeah.
I had not thought of that. And that is absolutely true. I love that so much.
So now we want to go into living our one life well. What do we do with all this information, whether, you know, before all this whole perimenopause, menopause situation, in it or after? What do we do with all this?
So of course, I'm always the one who brings us some questions to ask, and Action Amy will tell us what to do. And so yes, these questions apply no matter where you're at. And I'll confess that for those of you who haven't even begun to hit that perimenopause or menopause stage, I envy you. I wish I had known a lot of this stuff sooner. I wish I had asked these questions sooner.
Yes.
But it's never too late. And so I am officially out of menopause. Like, the signs are all there, and I'm grateful.
So jealous.
I'm grateful for sleep again. Oh, it's the best thing in the world. And even though I'm on the other side, I am still now asking these questions, because I need to. I have some repair to do, because I didn't take the kind of care of myself that I wish I had. So question number one, what is my body telling me it needs? I almost cried when Cheryl said that we really need to, during that season of perimenopause and menopause, that we need to take a break. And my body was asking for that. And I was like, no, we are going to prove that we can keep on going as if we're 20. So what is my body telling me it needs? Number two, how can I prepare to cocoon, but not tomb? I have a post-it note literally here on my computer, and it says cocoon versus tomb, rest versus rust.
I love it.
So yes, we need that downtime so that our body can do the repair, so it can move into that season, but not slowing down so much that we never come out of it or that we actually start to decay. Number three, as I remove the rose-colored glasses of my first half of life, what is God bringing into sharp focus? And I think that's different for each one of us. I wrote this with you in mind, Amy, because it's been such a privilege to be a part of your journey and see that, again, you aren't abandoning God. You're not abandoning your faith. You're stepping into a much fuller expression of who God created you to be that's making you so, so effective. So number three, as I remove the rose-colored glasses of my first half of life, what is God bringing into sharp focus? And then number four, in what area or areas is God telling me that it's time for a transplant? So action, Amy?
Tell me about that one. No, before we go on, you got to explain that one to me.
Oh, okay. I'm just thinking of in terms of back to the spiritual holding containers, like in what area or areas of my life am I root bound? And do I need to pull out and go into that next size container so that there's room for the roots to loosen up and break up so that the plant can thrive? And again, back to the all or nothing thing, I sometimes am tempted to just be like, fine, I'm just going to quit all the things and start completely over. And it is very rare that I feel like God is speaking into that process. He's usually over here going, Sherry, this one little part of your life, it really needs the transplant. But the whole grand sweeping change everything, he's not called me to. So that's why I said, what area or areas of life is God telling me it's time for a transplant?
Yep. I love that. Great question. Okay. So my action to take is you're going to do one or the other. You're either going to prepare or you're going to share, depending on what phase. So if you're before or in perimenopause and menopause, let's prepare. Your questions help us prepare so much. This stage of life seems like such a mystery. I don't think women talk about it a lot. It's very interesting, but it's clear from our conversations, you and I together, and then with Cheryl too, that the changes are substantial, that they're physical, that they're emotional, and that they're spiritual. So all parts of our being are affected by this stage of life. And it was interesting because as I was having some situations, I asked my mother and my mother-in-law, like, how did you go through this stage? And they were like, both of them said, I don't really remember it being a big deal. And I was like, okay, you're too far away from it. That's all.
I will never tell that to anyone. Trust me.
That's the only explanation I can come up with. So what I would say is part of preparation is finding kind of a mentor for this stage, somebody who's gone through it sort of recently and that you can talk to and ask questions. And how did you process this? And what did you do about this physical situation? And find a mentor. Buy Cheryl's book. Mm-hmm. I mean, hello, how many amazing things did she tell us? And stay tuned for season three of Grit and Grace. How was that?
Okay, Amy, lead us into the scripture for today.
Well, okay, so I got a little confused because my job is to do the scripture, but now we're letting our guests say it, but I forgot that. So I went on a search for it. And the one that I found about change was Jesus changing water into wine is his first miracle. And then I started thinking about how we as women are aging like fine wine. And then I was like, can I say that on Grit and Grace? Or do we talk about wine on Grit and Grace? And then I thought, oh yeah, this isn't my job after all. So Sherry, take us to the cross today.
Okay. Maybe we need to worry about you more than you think we needed to.
I think all these hormones are affecting my brain too. Whatever. But not my sense of humor. So that's good.
Very true. Very true. So the scripture that Cheryl gave us is 1 Corinthians 14:20. Amy, go ahead and read it. And then I actually did a little research on it.
Okay. Brothers and sisters, do not be children in your thinking. Rather, be infants in evil, but in thinking, be adults.
And so I looked this up in context, and it's interesting that it has infants, children, and adults. And really, in context, the way I'm applying it, okay, is that we don't want to get pulled into whatever the latest fad might be. We want to be innocent as babies when it comes to evil, or just completely inexperienced. But when it comes to thinking, we want to be practiced. We want to be mature. And it's the exact same word as the verse that says, be therefore perfect. Mm. So it's that word for mature. But in this context, especially, it has that sense of being practiced. Inexperienced in evil, experienced in thinking. And I just thought it tied so beautifully with what we were just talking about, what Cheryl talked to us about, avoiding the dualistic thinking, because that's so simplistic. That's so much faster. So being practiced in mature thinking, the kind of mature thinking that is the perfecting process of God working in our lives.
Beautifully said. Well, I'm finding some grace in all of this. Right now, I'm finding this stage physically hard more than anything. And I said something to Barry over the weekend that I've never said before. And I said, I wish I was just 25 again because of just my aches and pains and stuff. And Barry just looked at me. This was the most tender moment. I will never forget it. He looked at me and he said, we are growing old together. And he said, these things don't bother me because I'm, you know, he's going through his own changes. Men are going through their own changes at this stage. And so I thought that was so wonderful that we can do this together, whether it's a husband or friends, and that we give grace to ourselves. We don't wish ourselves back into 25-year-old bodies because that's a 25-year-old spirit and a 25-year-old mind too. And there's nothing wrong with that when you're 25. It's just not good when you're 53. Mm. And so I'm trying to give myself grace in this season and giving grace to my friends that are going through this as well. If they're a little more emotional on a day, or if their anger gets turned at me, or, you know, whatever that is. So how about you? You have some grit for us?
Yeah, I'll have some grit, but it's also going to, you know, as I'm thinking about it, I realize that it's really grace. I'm just trying to wrap grit around another form of grace. For me, the hardest thing about this season has been letting go of the expectations that I had for myself. Because, I mean, I don't have to tell you what it's like if you haven't slept, what it's like if you've been drenched in your own sweat and you stare at a schedule that you made the day before when you thought you might have a brain. And, you know, it really, again, either or thinking, needing to come down to some kind of a balance, the number of days where I would either power through and it would hurt, and it would damage me, it wasn't good for others, or the days I would be like, fine, I'm just not going to get anything done. And so I would just toss the whole thing. And so I think the grit, it'll come down to grit for me, is to be able to really lean in, both in the midst of a season like this, and even though I'm kind of on the other side, you know, I'm not who I used to be. I can't accomplish what I used to. The words don't come the way I wish they would. And so to really continue to wrestle with that, to continue to fight the good fight in the midst of it in a way that I'm not battling myself. I'm not fighting myself. I'm not hurting myself. At the same time, I'm not letting myself completely off the hook and just giving up. And so to stay in and to be present and to be processing each day, each hour, processing it with the Holy Spirit to say, okay, what's reasonable right now? What do you have for me? What do you have in front of me? And how much of this is me needing to suck it up, buttercup? And you know, I hate it when somebody says that to me. Like, nobody's allowed to say that to me, but I'm allowed to say that to myself in the mirror. And when is it that I need to do that? When is it I need to get my rear in gear? And when is it that I need to rest? I guess it comes back to really being very conscious and intentional about, is it rest or is it rest? And do I need to be intentional about taking action, or do I need to be intentional about, you know, really giving my body what it needs in the moment? And for me, not oversimplifying that, not swinging to the wild extremes, is going to take grit and grace. We hope you've enjoyed episode 208 of Grit and Grace, the podcast.
Listeners, we're so grateful that you join us each and every week.
And we're so grateful to Faithful Counseling for their sponsorship of this week's episode. To find out more about Faithful Counseling and get matched with a counselor that fits your needs, visit faithfulcounseling.com/gritandgrace.
Check out the webpage at gritandgracethepodcast.com/episode208. There you'll find this week's transcript and our link to Faithful Counseling.
Join us next week when we'll be talking with Jen Bleakley, author of Pawverbs, 100 Inspirations to Delight an Animal Lover's Heart.
For today, grow your grit.
Embrace God's grace.
And as God reveals the next step to live your one life well,
we'll be cheering you on, so
take it.